do forms differ from style to style, class to class, and even instructor to instructor? And is it the postures or the spaces between them that define the Tai Chi form? This most symbolic and synonymous representation of Tai Chi. And what did Bruce Lee mean when he said, when one has reached maturity in the art, one will have a formless form? Find out today on Talking Tai Chi with the Teapot Monk. Everybody, and welcome back to Talking Tai Chi with the Teapot Monk. Today we begin our short series on the form, or more strictly, the Tai Chi form, that sequence of postures, that pattern of movement, that slow dance of breath we all memorise in such minute detail, analysing angles and weight, velocity and thought. This is the form, a rather defined name I've always thought for something so fluid and so abstract. But there you have it. For the form, according to some, is the ultimate expression, whilst others see it as analysis, evaluation, or even paralysis. But let's begin by taking a brief overview. As important as the form is in the practice of Tai Chi, it is not by any means the entire thing. It is simply a tool for the practice and not an end to practice. Many confuse the attainment and completion of the form with the completion of their practice. But Tai Chi is so much more than simply a list of postures strung together over the course of time. This is not to play down the importance of the form. It is an integral and fundamental part of Tai Chi, but competency in the form does not necessarily translate as competency in anything else. The questions we must return to again and again are, why do we do it? What is its aim? Is there a better way or more appropriate way to achieve these aims? Given where we are, given where we live, given who we are? But I digress. Or do I? What is the form? The form consists of a series of postures that flow together, exercising body, mind, and breath all at the same time. It is said that before the form existed, the postures were practiced separately as martial art moves, not unlike the many drilled techniques that are practiced today in most other martial arts. These separate postures were united, so the story goes, by Chan Sang Feng, our friendly simian-loving sage and mythological founder of the art, who fused them together in the flowing and uninterrupted sequence that we have come to love today. Each posture of the form can have different applications regarding health and self-defense. Depending on the class in which you choose to learn, you may be shown one, both, or neither of these applications. Learning the form. In most classes, a new posture is learned every week or so. The teacher will demonstrate the move from several angles, repeating it slowly with verbal and visual instructions, so that students can assimilate the subtle connecting points and gradually build a familiarity with the posture. Each posture has a distinct order, so missing a class will mean that you may have to repeat a session or learn it in your own time. In fact, most students comment that the postures they find most difficult are the ones they miss the first time round. This is because the class is a shared learning experience, and one that has a strong influence on the learning curve of everyone. Group learning exercises are far more productive than individual ones, in due partly because of the collectivization of the experience, but also because the form lives outside the consciousness of any single individual. It lives in the memory of all of us, our conscious memory, our collective memory, and the memory of our muscles. Yes, that's right. The memory of our muscles. Our muscles have memories too. For more information, I'll put a link in the show notes on muscle memories. Repetitions. The endless repetitions performed when learning the form may seem a bit pointless at times, but it is in their repetition that our muscles build memory and our minds find the tranquility and grounding that Tai Chi can offer. And it is there where your Tai Chi studies really begin to deepen. For the more you practice and the more you keep learning, the more you unravel. And like any other language of the body or mind, the more you don't know. So repetition and regular practice are crucial. It has been said that once you start Tai Chi, it's like a car's engine that ticks over and over, if you practice often enough. If you don't practice regularly, then the engine stops and has to be restarted every time. Variations. Now you may see some variations on postures according to the style you practice. And this is where the fun begins. For each style claims to have interpreted the postures more accurately, authentically, or more traditionally than the others. If you've listened to any of my previous podcasts, you know where I stand on such nonsense. All it remains for me to say is cheese. And to answer that riddle, you'll have to follow the links in today's show notes. How do you learn? Well, many try and teach by repetition alone. Others by feeling a sense of flow or continuity between the moves. Others just imitate as though they were learning from a DVD. And this leads to the mother of all questions. Is the form what we can see or what we can feel? Is it what we manifest externally or internally? Bruce Lee said, "Each one of us is different, and each one of us should be taught the correct form." By correct form, he meant the most useful techniques the person is inclined toward. Find his ability and then develop these techniques. "When one has reached maturity in the art," he said, "one will have the formless form. It is like ice dissolving in water. When one has no form, one can be all forms." If Tai Chi can be likened to a language, then the form is clearly its alphabet. Each style produces different words, or the same words, but with a different accent. But what happens when we play with that order? What happens when we look for the meaning behind the words? To find out, listen to next week. For an alternative look at the internal arts, visit teapotmonk.com for controversial articles, heated discussions, insightful interviews, and links to the two classic texts on Tai Chi, The Manual of Being Good Boxing, and of course, Tai Chi 50 Essential Questions and Answers. Got a comment or a suggestion? Tweet me at beancurdboxer or email beancurdboxer@gmail.com.